Okay. If you have your bulletin, you can look on the back of the bulletin and you'll see the mission of the Cape Ann Bible Church. You'll see that it says, "We exist to glorify God by cultivating a community of disciples of Jesus Christ in West Gloucester, on Cape Ann, and to the ends of the earth." This is our mission statement as a church. This is why we exist here as a church. And so it raises a question, what does it mean to be a Christian? We're going to make a community of Christians, of disciples of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? What are the basic components of the Christian life? What do you need to know in order to grow? What do you need to practice in order to faithfully follow Jesus in your life? These are some of the questions that we're asking, which is kind of caused the series that we're in this month just to start the fall, the basics for Christian life. And so we've looked at, first, what does it mean to be a Christian? Is a person must be born again. You must be born of water and of spirit. Before you can respond in repentance and faith, God has to supernaturally cause new birth in your heart. And then where does a person turn after they've been born again? Is primary in living the Christian life is immersion in the Word of God, is daily, weekly, regularly getting into the Word, reading large portions of Scripture, studying small portions of Scripture, looking at topics, turning to God's Word in the midst of whatever it is, that the emotional issues you're going through, the relational issues. What does the text say? What is God? What has God communicated to us? That God's word is sufficient for all of our biggest needs, hopes, wants, and desires in this world. Which raises our topic this morning. As we look at what God has communicated to us through his word, I'm sure we've all had this experience where you're reading a passage and you turn to a certain book of the Bible, doesn't matter which one. Take your pick, and suddenly you read something and you think, what in the world? What does that mean? I don't understand what that means, right? Have you ever had that experience? Sometimes reading the Bible can be challenging, can it not? And if you're here and you're saying, no, I understand everything, let me ask you some questions after the service so I can show you why you need this sermon, right? It's actually the more I know, the more I realize how little I do know. This is good. Thinking about an infinitely glorious and complex God should be wondrous and feel out of reach in many ways, but it can be overwhelming, too. There's much that we can know, but there's also where we become much aware of much that we don't know, right? So if we're going to know God and follow his directions for our lives, we're going to need some help to understand his word, what he's communicated to us. We're going to need some help and power then to live in faithful obedience to God. And so where does that help come from? Has God made a way for us to understand his truth and to follow him? And the answer, of course, is yes, through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to guess that you didn't read the title of the sermon, so you knew that. Yes, good job. No, as Christians, we believe that God gives the Holy Spirit to all who believe. That when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled in your heart and is with you always. We believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us by God and is given to us to help us to understand God. We believe that this Holy Spirit is then our agent of understanding. But I would ask you, is how well do you feel like you understand the Holy Spirit? Think about it. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Do you feel like you have a full picture of who the Holy Spirit is? Or maybe there are some pieces missing to your puzzle of what the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, what does he look like, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Now, I found that for most people, the Holy Spirit is actually probably the least understood person in the Trinity between the Father, Son, and Spirit. And isn't that ironic? That the Holy Spirit, the very agent given to us to bring us clarity, is often someone we don't really understand very clearly. Think about it. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? And why do you believe that about the Holy Spirit? And even more than that, is the Holy Spirit even relevant to your life? If you're a Christian, how often do you think about the Holy Spirit? How often do you recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, some people have an overly experiential understanding of the Holy Spirit, as I only believe what I myself have experienced. In this, while our experience of the Holy Spirit is very important, it is necessary, it is seen in Scripture, if we depend too much on our experience for what we believe on about the Holy Spirit, this can lead to too loose of a view of the Holy Spirit, as all of our experience is tainted by sin in the fall. And 1 John 4 actually specifically warns us not to believe every spiritual experience that we have, but to test the spirits. We are to test our spiritual experience against the truth of God's word. Now, on the flip side of that, some people have an overly abstract or conceptual view of the Holy Spirit. He's some just impersonal force that's out there that does stuff, right? My knowledge is the arbitrator of what is true about the Spirit of God. I only believe what I know and what I understand and what I can see. Now, again, this, on the other side, leads to too rigid of a view of the Holy Spirit, an attitude of trying to control the Holy Spirit instead of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need to hear and take seriously Paul's warning in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not try to dampen the work of the Spirit. So again, I ask, why do you believe what you believe about the Holy Spirit? Can you support what you know, what you experience, and what you believe from Scripture? What does the text say? What does God tell us about His Spirit? Now, the Bible is rich with information that God has communicated to us about the Holy Spirit. And as I kind of really, one of the main things I wanted to show last week was just that whatever you're going through, whatever your questions are, the Bible is rich with resources on that question or on that need. It takes some time or maybe some help to find it, but it's in there. So trust God's word. The Bible is rich with God's information that He's communicated to us about the Holy Spirit. Now, early in this week, I was looking up, and I was like, I'll just type this in, Holy Spirit, Bible Gateway, how many references to the Holy Spirit are there? It's over 100, right? If you search, you know, Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Jesus, you'll get, I think it was like 130-something references just on that. That has nothing to do with if you search the Spirit, and then you have to look through between a human spirit or God's. There's so many passages on the Holy Spirit. There's so much that God has told us about the third person in the Trinity. And so this morning, we're going to start, we could have started many places, but we're going to start at a kind of beginning point and focus, which is what Jesus was teaching His disciples about the Holy Spirit, which was recorded for us in several passages in the Gospel of John. Okay, so just one other note is in your bulletin, you're going to see that this is a classic three-point sermon, which is... is the most common type of sermon. We're only going to get through 2 points today. So if you're like, wow, we're really cooking through here, and we're only in the middle of the second point. We're only going to do two today, and this topic we will cover again next week because there's simply too much to talk about. We must understand the Spirit. So we're going to start though in John 14:16-17. Gospel of John. You're going to want to, if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, I'd encourage you to pull it up. Maybe put your phone in airplane mode so you're not distracted by things coming in. But you're going to want to have these texts in front of you today. So John 14:16-17. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. He's comforting them, and He says these words. Jesus says, John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. in this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We see that he is abiding with and in the disciples of Jesus, but not those of the world. We see that he is given by the Father at the request of Jesus the Son as another helper. Or if I wanted to transliterate that Greek word, I would say another paraclete. Another paraclete. Now, this is huge and foundational to our understanding of how the Holy Spirit functions in our lives. This is really, I keep coming back to this passage and really that phrase, another paraclete. He functions as another paraclete. I mean, what does that mean, another paraclete? I keep saying it because I know it. Maybe you've never heard the word. How many of you have heard the word paraclete before? All right. Yes. Well, let's think about this. Don't worry. I'm gonna define it. It's important. That's why I keep saying it. What does the word another imply? It implies that there was this first initial paraclete, and now there's another one, right? There's a second paraclete. Jesus will ask the Father to give the disciples another one. He'll ask the Father to give the disciples a second paraclete to function in the disciples' lives, at least in some ways, similar to how the first paraclete functioned. Right? He's another paraclete. So what is a paraclete? Now, this Greek word is most commonly translated as helper or advocate or comforter. It has the meaning of someone who is called alongside someone else to their aid. Someone who is called to come alongside someone to help them, to be with them, to provide aid to them. Someone who advocates for another person. Now, in secular Greek culture in the first century, paraclete most commonly referred to a defense attorney. Okay, think about what does a defense attorney do? They have a knowledge and expertise, a skill set that they then bring to the aid of the defendant to help them. They come alongside of them to advocate for them, to comfort them, to provide aid to them. Now, in Jesus' usage and in Christian understanding, a paraclete is certainly not less than that idea, but it actually goes much further than that. It's much more than that. The Greek word parakletos shows up in the New Testament 5 times. 4 times here in the Gospel of John in reference to the Holy Spirit, which we'll hopefully, Lord willing, be able to get through all 4 of those times in the next 2 weeks. But the one other time it shows up is in the first letter of John with reference not to the Spirit, but to the first paraclete, which is Jesus. 1 John 2:1, which is a pretty well-known passage, John writes to the disciples of Jesus that he's writing to. He says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." We have an advocate. We have one who has come alongside us, who's advocating for us, who is coming to our aid by interceding before a holy Father on behalf of our sins on the basis of his blood. Right? Jesus is our first paraclete. And so now, while Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they do have different functions, a lot of what they do comes from this understanding of they've come to our aid. They've come alongside of us. Jesus is the one mediator between sinful men and women and holy God. The Holy Spirit didn't die for our sins, okay? But Jesus is the first paraclete who came to the disciples' aid. Before his death, he came along their side of them to teach them all truth, to train them up in all righteousness, and to show them what God is like. And it's these aspects, then, that the Holy Spirit is really the second paraclete. Jesus then asked the Father to send his disciples this helper, this comforter, this advocate, this second paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So therefore, as we start on this topic, as we're thinking, okay, what is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What's he like? Why do we need him? How can we understand him? is think about this in terms of that the Holy Spirit functions for the disciples similar to how Jesus functioned with the disciples before his death and resurrection. How Jesus was with the disciples, walking with them, teaching them, being a friend to them, building community of them. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, the Holy Spirit is hard to understand. And one of the ways, reasons I think the Holy Spirit can be so hard for us to understand is he's hard to visualize, right? When I talk about God as Father, have you ever known a father before? Yeah, all right. That's one of the reasons God communicates himself to us, is the perfect Father, the Holy Father, the best Father that we could ever think of. But we've all known fathers, and so we can use what we know in Scripture and what we know in our lives and our experience to have some concept and idea of God as Father. The same with Jesus, the Son, is we know, you might know a man or two, right? And so if we think about Jesus, we can take what we understand a human man to be, and we can then take what we know the Bible tells us about Jesus, and we have an image for it. We can see it. How do you imagine the wind? What do you think of when I talk about what does a breath of air do, right? It's harder to visualize. It's harder to just kind of have this gut understanding of what it is. And yet this is the way the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible. How do we do this? How do we visualize this? Is there an image that can help us to understand the Holy Spirit better, to try to give us something to think about as we then think about the truth of God's Word? Let's try this image on for size. You know those cartoons where a person has like a big decision to make? It's like some big moral dilemma, and they just, what is right to do? What is wrong to do? How do I know what to do? And then all of a sudden, they have on one shoulder a devil who's in their ear and is like, you should hit that person or steal that money or do whatever it is, right? Do it for you. You deserve it. Right, then the devil's in the ear, and then on the other ear is some goofy-looking angel who's like, "No, no, don't do that. Just be nice, love everyone. Don't steal the money. Don't hit the person. Don't knock them down the hill. Whatever it is." And so you have a devil and an angel. What if instead of an angel, we had on the other shoulder we had a little Jesus, right? However you imagine Jesus, right? And there's a little Jesus on your shoulder, and that's the Holy Spirit, because he's another paraclete, right? He's a second paraclete, and he's one who comes alongside of you and to aid you, to advocate for you, to comfort you, to teach you, to do many other things. But he's, in the same way Jesus walked and lived with the disciples and instructed them and modeled for them, the Holy Spirit is with you. Maybe that helps a little bit to help us as we think about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is to us what Jesus was to the original disciples before his crucifixion. Now this, again, what exactly he's doing will hopefully become clearer the more we see of Jesus' teaching. We're going to move to another passage, but before we move to our next passage, I just need to make one more point about this second paraclete. Listen to the whole verse one more time. John 14:16-17. I will ask the, this is Jesus speaking again, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another paraclete, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. It's hard to see in the English, but every you, every you in this sentence, in these sentences, is plural. It's not singular. It's actually plural. We've talked about this before, that the English language doesn't have a good you plural, which becomes challenging whenever, for those of you who speak Spanish or Latin or any of the other Romance languages, you know that you singular and you plural is often very, very easy to see in those languages. This can be difficult in our language. Really, the only good you plural we have is the Southern term y'all, right? Like, y'all come back now, you hear? Right? I heard someone say that phrase once. It's probably the best day of my life. Use guys. All right, is that the Gloucester term? I'm an outsider, right? Use guys, can I say that? All right, that's the you plural, right? Which unfortunately, though, it's two words, right? Ah, but it's just one word. All right, so I'll adapt. I can do this. So listen to this again. Jesus is promising his community of disciples that this second paraclete, the Spirit of Truth, will be with use guys forever, right? Use guys all know him because he abides with use guys and he will be in use guys, right? That this is all of these use, they're all plural. It's a communal. There's both personal and communal components to this promise. The Holy Spirit will both be in each one of you as individual Christians, but the Holy Spirit will also abide with us as the family of God, as a community. That my access to the Holy Spirit is not exclusive, while it is personal and intimate. And again, think about Jesus. Just as Jesus had relationship with the individual disciples as he walked the earth, he also had a relationship to them as a community. This is the same way with the Holy Spirit, this ever second paraclete. So we need to remember this, that the Holy Spirit is both in you personally and with us corporately. All right. Remember that point. That will come up again and again and again. But first, we need more of Jesus' teaching about the Holy Spirit. So, excuse me. If the Holy Spirit is another paraclete and functions with the disciples similar to how Jesus functioned with the disciples before his crucifixion, what then is the primary function of the Holy Spirit to the disciples? The Holy Spirit does lots of things, but what's his primary function? What's the primary way he comes alongside of disciples of Jesus and gives them aid? Well, John 14, 25 through 26, a little later in this passage, Jesus continues his teaching. John 14, 25 through 26, Jesus says to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you," use guys, "while abiding with use guys," again, each one of these uses also plural, "but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." Okay. While Jesus was with the disciples, he was their primary teacher. He primarily expounded for them the Word of God and showed them God's truth, showed them how he fulfilled the Word of God as the Messiah, showing them who God is and what God is like. This is what Jesus did. And then he says, once Jesus leaves, this second paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will be sent to the disciples by the Father in Jesus' name and at Jesus' request. That when Jesus ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit will then be sent to teach the disciples all things and to remind them of all that Jesus has said, to bring remembrance to their minds, all of the teaching that Jesus has given them. Again, we see the Holy Spirit functions for the disciples similar to how Jesus functioned with the disciples while he was with them on this earth. For the disciple of Jesus, then, for us, the Holy Spirit functions as our teacher and as our reminder. The Holy Spirit, for us, he doesn't bring us any new revelation from God. He's not revealing things to us that haven't been already revealed by God in the past, but he does bring understanding to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to see more clearly and to understand more personally the ways that God has already revealed himself to us in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the teaching and the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings into clarity that which we see and know in the Word of God. This is good news. Do you recognize how good of news this is? I can't tell you how many times a a Christian I know and love and respect and has been a Christian for a while has told me, well, I can't read that part of the Bible. I just don't understand it, and I'm never going to understand it, right? Or something to that effect. I shouldn't read that. I need you to explain it to me. And to which I say, I'm not your primary teacher of God's word. I'm not. The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is with each and every believer and is always the believer's first and foremost teacher of the word of God. Even in my study, one of the applications of this type of text for me personally is before I ever read a commentary or a study note and or anything else that anyone else has said about the word of God, is I just simply read God's word, I outline it, and I sit with it, and I write down my thoughts, I write down my questions, I ask God to speak to me from his word before I look at what anyone else has said. And I always encourage you to do this in your own quiet times before you turn to your study notes or your commentary, your book study, is read the text and ask God to speak to you through his word. Because the Holy Spirit is always our first and primary teacher of the word of God. So this is good news then. That is, we read the books of the Bible. You know, if you ever think again, man, the Bible is just hard to understand. I got to stay away from a book like Ezekiel or Revelation because it's scary. Or even Romans, right? Romans is so deep. It can be hard for you to understand what you're reading. Remember that Jesus promised that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to the disciples of Jesus as their primary teacher. That's a promise of Jesus. There's lots of times when we look at things and we're not sure if it has been or hasn't been promised to us by God, like, you know, whether we're going to be successful or beautiful or all those things, right? This is an actual promise of God that for the believer in Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Father has sent the Spirit to you. This is a promise of God that Jesus made here. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, will teach you all things. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will teach you not all truth at all times, but he'll teach you all the truth that you need to know for today. He'll teach you all the truth that you need for right now. Again, this doesn't mean that you'll always understand everything. There's lots of things in God's word that I don't yet understand. Again, the more I understand, the more I grow in my faith and my knowledge of the word of God, the more questions I have, and that's okay. God is big. He's mysterious, but he's also revealed parts of who he is to us, and he wants us to know him. And the Holy Spirit will help teach you what you need to know. This does mean that I do believe every time you come to the word of God, the Holy Spirit can and will teach you something about who God is and who you are in light of him. We don't always know everything, but we will always know something through what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. Again, God gives us grace. He gives us, like he gave the Israelites manna, he gives us enough for today. We're not going to know everything for every day, but he will give you enough for today. This forces us to keep coming back to him. Tomorrow he'll teach you a little bit more. But what he teaches you today is enough for you to know and follow God in your life today. So the Holy Spirit teaches us as we read and study God's word. Just as Jesus helped the disciples to know and understand the word of God, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Again, if you want to try and visualize this, I find that helps me is if you're trying to think, okay, what is the Holy Spirit's primary function? Do you have this image of like, you know, an old stodgy college professor, like with like a tweed jacket on and like the leather elbow patches, the thick glasses, the like disgusting olive drab sweater, and then a really, really ridiculously bright bow tie? Did you have a professor like that? If not, you can think of whatever you want to think about when you think of a professor, but a teacher, right? My dad's a college professor, and I can always just see him with his red and white striped shirt with a big, big ink stain in his pocket. Like, Dad, throw out that shirt. You have other shirts. Why do you keep wearing that? I'm way off topic here. Whatever. This isn't being recorded, is it, Hugh? My dad listens to my sermons. whatever you think of when you think of a teacher, right, is the Holy Spirit is your teacher, right? He's come alongside of you as a paraclete to help you to understand God's truth for your life. What you need to know about God, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And this is good news. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Again, remember, so in the previous passage, all the yous were plural. It's the same with this passage. They're all yous guys, or y'all, or you all, or however you want to think about it. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Okay, that's the reality here. This is important because the Holy Spirit often wants to teach you through the way he's already taught your brother or sister in Christ. Okay? Now, this is just as we've talked in church membership, we covenant together to be the family of God in order to do the mission of God. And one of the things that we talked about was I do not believe we can faithfully follow Jesus on our own. We need to faithfully follow Jesus in a community of Christians, which we call the local church. Because the Holy Spirit, yes, as you read God's word, the Holy Spirit will always teach you and will show you what you need from the word. But one of the other ways, the other primary ways that the Holy Spirit teaches you is through what he's taught your brother or sister in Christ. Think about that. That's what's happening right now, right? I spent a good chunk of time in these passages looking at all this, and the Holy Spirit communicated to me, and now I'm communicating that to you. And even, you know, if you want to know the process of this, earlier this week, as I looked at the 100-something passages I could choose on to preach on, the once-for-all definitive sermon on the Holy Spirit, it was overwhelming. I remember there was a moment where I was really overwhelmed. There's just too much that God communicates to us about the Holy Spirit. Where should I possibly start with such a rich and important topic? And so I prayed, and I asked the praise band to pray for me, that God, through the Holy Spirit, would lead me into what he would have me say about the Holy Spirit. And I started with a very different understanding of what I was going to do, but then God led me to these passages in John. The Holy Spirit teaches us through one another. And so I understand it kind of makes sense that the Holy Spirit would teach you through what the pastor's saying, but let me then flip this on its head. Also earlier this week, I went to talk to Nancy, and I wasn't sick, so don't blame me for the fact that now she's out being sick. That wasn't for me, but we had a conversation earlier this week, and she was. We were talking about women's ministry and all the discipleship groups, and then she was just sharing something that God had really been showing her from the passage that I preached on last Sunday. Just as she had taken one of her quiet times that week to reflect on it further, and she was just sharing what the Holy Spirit had been teaching her on this passage, which you know is Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the way she shared what the Holy Spirit had been teaching her from that passage, it made something click for me and brought that passage into greater clarity for me. Now, just to be very clear what happened, I mean, I spend 20, 25 hours a week on per sermon. I'd spent the majority of that time in that text. And I preached on that text. And then through talking to my sister in Christ, the Holy Spirit taught me through what she was saying, and I grew to a greater understanding of that text. Isn't that special? The Holy Spirit is our teacher, right? He wants to teach us as we read the word and as we speak to one another about what God is showing us. This is wonderful. Some of my greatest joys as a pastor is when you guys all come up to me and you tell me what God is teaching you, what God has been showing you in on the study you're doing or the book of the Bible you're reading. I love those times. Those are so great. We need this. We need to be taught by his word. We need to be teachable, to be willing to be taught by one another. But then also we have a responsibility then to share with one another what God is showing us in his word. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Therefore, you can approach God's word with confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you as your teacher. And then you can share what the Holy Spirit is teaching you often with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit is also our reminder. He helps us to understand God's word and all that Jesus said, but then he also reminds us of God's truth and Jesus' promises to us in our moments of need, when we need them most. Now, the longer you're a Christian, the more of God's truth you've come to see and understand, and really the more than a new teaching, you need a new reminding of what you already know. We all, as Christians, are like the Israelites, right? We're forgetful. God knows this, and so he gives us the Paraclete, the teacher of truth, and the reminder of Jesus' words and God's promises to us. Just as God, he had the Israelites build up stacks of stones and monuments to remember the ways that God had acted on their behalf. If they were there, that was great. They saw the reminder. But what about when they weren't there? Thankfully, God has given us the Holy Spirit, who is with us always. We can bring to mind God's word when we need it, whenever we need it. The Holy Spirit is in you and can bring God's word to your mind, again, no matter what you're going through. So listen to him and even ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're in crisis or you're in confusion, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling like you can't go on, or you don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit for help. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the promises of God, the truth of Jesus' words. Again, this happens to me a lot, in that there'll be sometimes someone comes up with a hard question, or enter a hospital room and just don't know what to do or say. And just have to say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me to know what to do. Help me to know how to be your presence here. Maybe with something to say or maybe something not to say, right? As we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. And it's not uncommon that in those situations that the Holy Spirit guides us, a scripture passage comes to my mind that either guides them what I say, or that even then I can read and give to that person whatever they're asking or whatever they're going through. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, our Paraclete, our teacher, and our reminder. Okay, so we've looked at quite a bit this morning, if you think about it. Giving you a lot to think about. And so next week, we're going to look at what Scripture shows us are some of the primary truths that the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us of. We're going to look at the personal nature of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to and even called to experience the Holy Spirit, and what that looks like scripturally, what the Bible says about that. But for now, I just want you to remember what you've seen today in God's Word. That when Jesus walked this earth, he came alongside of the disciples. He walked with them. He taught them. He loved them. He showed them what God is like, and he helped them to know who they are in light of God's love. This is who the Holy Spirit is to us. The Holy Spirit does this for us and functions for us in this way, similar to how Jesus functioned for the disciples. And so this week, as you're going through your week, as you have your quiet times, begin them in prayer and ask God, through the Holy Spirit, to teach you from the Word of God. As you're going through your daily tasks, the struggles of parenting, the struggles of your job, or of caring for a family member, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and power for those tasks, to come alongside of you and to walk with you through those tasks, because that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He teaches us all that we need to know and understand, to know and follow God in every area of our lives. And he will remind us of all that God is and who we are in Jesus Christ. Praise God that we're not alone. Praise God that we've not been abandoned, but that God is with us and among us always, through the Holy Spirit living with you and abiding with us all. Thanks be to God for his Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Dear God, we do thank you for the Paraclete, this second Paraclete who has come. That God, that just as Jesus is at the right hand of the Father advocating for us on account of his righteousness and his blood, which covers all of our sins, that the Holy Spirit is with us always, teaching us, coming alongside of us, encouraging us, comforting us. God, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge and revel in our dependence on your Spirit that lives within us. God, help us to listen to your Holy Spirit as he teaches us, as he guides us, as he leads us. God, help us to then step out in faith boldly, knowing that we are not alone, but that it is through your Holy Spirit that you never leave us, nor forsake us, nor abandon us, but you are with us always, even to the end of the age. That we can trust Jesus' words as true, as we see the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in the lives of one another. God, continue to teach us and to grow us as your people. I pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.